Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. We hope today's worship service and message bring you inspiration and comfort. So join us now from the sanctuary of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
It is our privilege each week. Our privilege to come before God and share with God those things that are broken about us, are less than whole about us, even sinful about us. And I intentionally use that word privilege because God wants to know us. God wants to be in relationship with us. God wants the grace that God so freely offers to mean something. And so I invite us now to come into this time of confession where we will join together in the confession that is printed in your bulletins, followed by a time of silent confession, and then we will receive the good news of God's love and grace for us. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, born in Bethlehem, give us grace to live the generosity of your humility in our words, in our actions, in our relationships. Lord Jesus, through whom all creation came to be, give us grace to live the compassion of your justice for our neighbors in every corner of the world and in our lives. Lord Jesus, whose Spirit is active in your church and everywhere, give us grace to live the calling to be your body, with loaf and cup, and with respect and trust for each other. It is with great joy that we wait for your coming, celebrate your birth, and with our lives proclaim your presence. We pray as you invite us to, and in gratitude for the new possibilities of your grace. Our God hears us. Our God forgives us. Our God walks alongside of us in our good times and those times that are less than. Our God never stops cheering for us, encouraging us on to be the faithful people we have committed ourselves to be as disciples of Jesus. Let us hear again this day and yet believe the amazing good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
because the apartment in which I'm living is so close to church, I often walk down Central Avenue to get here, just a few blocks. And one of the things I've noticed in recent weeks as I come by the northeast corner of the church property, up where the park abuts to the preschool pre-care center that is behind us, there's a couple of stumps there in the grass, some trees that were cut down, I don't know, a few years ago, and the stumps are just there, and they are dead stumps. There are no little shoots coming out of them. There doesn't seem to be any hope for new life. And I think of those stumps in relationship to the Isaiah lesson I'm about to offer, where God is able to do things even with dead stumps. Let us hear now God's word to us from the 11th chapter of Isaiah. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge for the poor and decide with equity for the oppressed of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion will feed together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. Our New Testament lesson comes to us from the 15th chapter of Romans. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the ancestors, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore, I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again, he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall have hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. And set alongside these texts for these Advent Sundays, I'm also offering a poem entitled Nativity by Kenneth Stephen, a Scottish poet. When the miracle happened, it was not with bright light or fire, but a farm door with the thick smell of sheep and wind tugging at the shutters. There was no sign that the world had changed forever or that God had taken place. Just a child crying softly in a corner, and the door open for those who came to find. In this season of Advent, this season of waiting and wonder, this season of anticipation and imagination, In this season of expectation and journey, we are those who seek after the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We are those who come to find the one who will change our lives and change our world by bringing hope. Hope is no small thing for us to pursue, for us to seek, to claim. For we live in a world that does not value hope. That world that would deny hope, that declares that only fools and dreamers chase after hope. Hope is not valued by many because hope is a threat to those in our world who cling to power by force and swallow as much wealth as they possibly can. Because those who have hope cannot be controlled and manipulated, cannot be made to fear, cannot be distracted by any false sense of scarcity. Those who know hope can see fresh possibilities where most cannot, and embrace and share grace, and move and act with fear, and desire change and transformation. Those who embrace hope understand that God is never satisfied with inaction and safe choices and the status quo. The prophet Isaiah is known for a clear and bold vision of hope that time and time again is given voice in his poetry, in the book that bears his name, the poetry through which he invites God's people of all times and places, including us today. Isaiah invites us to consider afresh the astonishing hope which God repeatedly pours upon us, and then to boldly act out of this sense of hope for the care of God's people, the care of God's creation. The foundation for the great poem of hope, which Isaiah offers in the first 10 verses of chapter 11, today's scripture lesson from the Hebrew Scriptures, the foundation for this lesson is laid out in the last two verses of the preceding chapter, chapter 10 of Isaiah, and these verses read as follows. Look, the sovereign, the Lord of hosts will lop the boughs with terrifying power. The tallest trees will be cut down, and the lofty will be brought low. The Lord will hack down the thickets and the forest with an axe, and Lebanon with its majestic trees will fall. The stumps that God creates are dead stumps. Because Isaiah is talking about action which the Lord will undertake, we need to understand that cutting timber is poetic, symbolic language for what has or will soon happen to God's own people. For God's people have forgotten how to live as God expects them to. They mistreat the poor of the land. They ignore those who are hungry and unhoused and not safe because of their gender, because of the way they are categorized by their society as widow or orphan or poor or servant or leper. We can name similar categories where people continue to be so labeled in the present. There is a huge shift in Isaiah's understanding of what God is about between the end of chapter 10 and the beginning of chapter 11. And we cannot be completely sure what this shift is because the text doesn't describe it in any detail, or it doesn't tell us why it occurs or how long this shift took to occur. We can only be sure that the action described in both places is undertaken by God. And in chapter 11, suddenly, astonishingly, God's people who were lifeless stumps at the end of chapter 10 become stumps from which new springs of life, new shoots of life spring forth. God has transformed judgment and despair into hope. transformed no future into fresh possibilities, transformed death into new life. And in our tradition, as followers of Jesus, we call this transformation from death to new life by a very powerful word. We call it resurrection. Isaiah never ceases to be astonished at the newness of God and never fails to summon God's people to hope and expectation in the face of great discouragement, in the face of situations that create despair. For as Isaiah makes clear, the hope which God's people once knew has been extinguished. And yet, because God's compassion is limitless and God's love is abundant and never-ending, lifeless stumps are gifted with a new unnamed sprout who offers a faint sign of life and growth and future possibilities. The shoot that grows, the one who grows up in the name of the Lord, carries God's Spirit, which is a force that enlivens and gives power and energy and courage so that its bearer is recognized as the one who is designated by God, the one who has the capacity to do what the world, what we sometimes believe is impossible. And this one is the one who brings us hope. Our gospel lesson is part of the Apostle Paul's self-introduction to the church in Rome. He hopes to visit there soon and sends this letter ahead so they might know a bit about him and what he thinks about faith in Jesus and might then welcome him with more open arms. His letter to the Romans echoes Isaiah's concerns about the coming of the hope-filled one, who will bring welcome and justice and hope to all people everywhere without exception. Hope that is surprising, even startling in its nature. Hope that sustains life. Hope through which life-changing newness emerges again and again and again. Hope that can be trusted. Hope that is worth giving one's life for. I believe the gift of hope which we receive in Jesus is the primary reason that Advent is such a welcomed and longed for season among us. We know what shape that our world and our communities and our lives are in. We know that the needs of the world are mostly greater than our capacity to make a difference, to affect change. And yet we know that if things don't change from the way they are at the present, the mess and the pain and the deep hurt that exist in the absence of hope will be overwhelming and unrelenting and death-giving. It will lead to the lopping off and the hacking down and the clear-cutting which defines God's people at the end of chapter 10 in Isaiah. Our good news in this season of Advent, our good news in all times really, is that the shoot that grows out of the stump, the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the one who comes that we might know life and know it abundantly, this one comes with judicial power, which assures that everyone will know security and well-being. And this one comes with an equalizing power, which intervenes on behalf of the poor and the vulnerable who are unable to supply their own social leverage. And this one comes to bring justice. Justice that is not determined by wealth and access to power, but justice that is exclusively determined by the love of God, which means the gift that this shoot of Jesse brings is available to all of us. And this is why. This is why that in this season of Advent, we await that shoot that comes forth. We await the stump of Jesse bursting into new life. We await Jesus, Jesus who is received and celebrated and welcomed in hope. The very same hope Jesus brings to you and to me and to all. The hope that offers everyone astounding fresh possibilities and amazing new life. Our spiritual homework this week, which is about understanding the abundance of God, our spiritual homework, I think, is going to be challenging for us. This week, I invite us all to look around us for a place or a situation or a life where hope is absent, where the absence of hope is exacting a heavy toll on human life, on the fabric of creation, on God's unfolding future. And in this place of hopelessness, let us make it our task to find a way to offer a measure of hope. For as disciples who follow Jesus, hope-giving is what we are called to do. Hope-giving is part of our DNA. Two hints for tackling this challenging spiritual homework. First, we don't personally have to bring all the hope that a particular situation may require. For if we can offer even some small act of hope, if we can imagine an unexpected new way, if we can help a glimmer of fresh possibilities begin to come into focus, hope itself takes over, making the impossible possible. And the second thing about our homework is that it can and probably should be group homework, something we do one with another. Through the power of God, Isaiah was able to bring a lot of hope as a solitary voice. But imagine what we can do together as disciples of Jesus working with one another. As a group, there is more energy and power for transforming judgment and despair into acceptance and love. There is more energy and power for transforming no future into fresh possibilities. There is more energy and love for transforming death into new life. And we can never forget that as followers, as disciples of Jesus, we call the death to life transformation, resurrection, a gift our world and so many people in it need deeply. Where do each of us feel drawn as we look around this week? Is it a person? Is it a place? Is it a bigger issue than either of those? Where do we feel drawn to places where hopelessness overwhelms? Drawn to a place where the hope we bear in Jesus that we bring with us can make a holy difference. I invite us to start moving in that direction right now, for we are people who live in hope. Thanks be to God, we are people who live in hope. Amen. I invite us now to find our bulletins and to stand and let us together proclaim some of that which we believe in our affirmation of faith. We are an Advent people, a people of hope. For us, Advent is a time of waiting, and so we wait. We wait for the coming of the one who is the fulfillment of God's promise, the fulfillment of hope, the declaration that we have been redeemed. Even so, we are not a naive people. We know that the world in which we live will continue to be filled with pain and sorrow. We know that hatred and violence will continue to exist. We know that death and separation will continue to be part of our lives. But because we are an Advent people, we know that none of these things will win in the end. The Holy One is coming to make holy once again all that was, is, and ever will be. And in our waiting and our hoping, we work and worship, pray and play in all things, hoping that peace, love, and joy will reign in our lives and in our world, now and forever. Amen.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the Tab Podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org and tap on the graphic marked Sermons. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. If you can't join us in person, many of our beautiful worship services are live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the service times and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at this same time for Sunday with Tab.